We had a graduation. I don't mean from high school or from college. For years we had been praying for Marion's son Donald and his struggle with many different things between brain issues and everything else that he had gone through. And he, over the years, surprised the doctors. When the doctor said, well, you only got a couple more weeks to live, a couple more months to live, that was 6 months and 6 years plus. And he kept surprising everybody that, and it's just a reminder, God is in control of all that. We doctors and things like that can guess, but our life is in the Lord's hands. Well, the Lord finally decided to bring Donald home. So he is with the Lord right now. He passed away this past week. And there will be a service for him this coming Saturday. So if you'd like any more details, please keep in touch with us. And Marion, as of right now, it's 11 o'clock Saturday. All right? Anything else I need to know? I used to be able to depend knowing I got everything covered, but my memory is not what it used to be. Amen? So you write things down on notes, then you can't remember where you put the note. You tie a string around your finger, but you can't remember what you tied the string there for. Okay, turn if you would to Philippians. We had several weeks off for the Christmas program and the sermon on last week. We're going to get back to Philippians today. And so I want to spend a few minutes by way of review, because it's important we set the stage where we had been so that we understand where this next verse fits into the context. So in chapter 4, Paul had given us some great insights. Now, up until this point, we understand many commentators and those who have studied the book of Philippians remind us that it's a book about joy, because that's the primary theme that you find in it, joyfulness, rejoicing. But we also saw, and we've been studying for a while, that there's a secondary theme that we have been looking at, and that is the mind. Okay, it talks about minding this and think this way and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that it's a book about training our brains on how to think. Well, with that in mind, pardon that pun, I got a review because we're setting stuff up for a big verse that Paul's about to drop on us. So we looked at four essentials for a life of joy in chapter 4. And if you remember, we can look back, he said, number one, rejoice in the Lord, always. And I love that. Proper English that. Some of these things, why does he say rejoice in the Lord, always? And again, I say rejoice. We want to change that and make it so we can understand it better so it sounds right. But he doesn't mean always. Okay, meaning you are in a rejoicing mode, always, continuously, you never have any difficulties, any struggle. That's not what it means. Okay, we're not mindless rejoicers, and no matter what's going on, we're just happily just walking around. It means always, we talked about it, it means every when. Okay, every when, no matter what when comes your way, no matter what is coming across your path, you make the choice to rejoice. All right, and that's, remember, guys, again, by way of review, what we have been looking at over and over is that we have to make a choice in our mind to react the proper way to the things going on. So number one, he says, rejoice. Do we rejoice in circumstances? Somebody say something. Okay, it's one of those mornings. I looked at some of you, you're like, I ate too much for Christmas. Okay, get this. Still got, you know, that was almost a week ago, guys. You should be over that by now. So I have an excuse. I was at my mother-in-law's last night. Oh my goodness, we ate a lot. It was good stuff. But listen, we rejoice in the Lord. We do not rejoice in circumstances. Because circumstances can always bring you to a point where there's nothing to rejoice about, is there? Come on, wake up. I'm here. There you are, all right. Okay, how many of you are in a situation right now where it's not easy to rejoice? Okay, sometimes we do. Listen. Sometimes things come our way. You won that $500 million lottery, it's easy to rejoice. Okay, till the taxes come due and everybody starts begging you for money. Other times, but we're not rejoicing in the situations. We're rejoicing in the Lord. Does he change? Is he always sovereign? He has things under his control no matter what. His love never fails. His mercy endureth forever. The Lord Jesus and God the Father loves us so much, He never changes. We rejoice in the Lord. And guys, Donald and those who have passed on before us don't have those worries and circumstances that we have now. And soon, the Lord's going to call each and every one of us home, whether it's in a big time deal with all of us at once, or we're going to individually go meet Him one by one. And all these circumstances that we're worried about right now aren't going to matter one bit. So if you remember to rejoice in the Lord, not in the circumstances. Then the second part, he said that was the first part of the four essentials was rejoice in the Lord. Number two was let your moderation be known unto all men. If you understand that God's constant, He doesn't change. He's always the same. He's always loving, always merciful, and He's got us right in the palm of His hand and He's taking care of us. Then we don't have to be up and down like a ship tossed on the waves, right? We can be consistent because God is consistent. If we trust in God and rejoice in Him, we can be consistent. Let your moderation be known to all men. People look at you and go, isn't this driving you nuts? Well, yeah, it would be, but I know God's got it taken care of. Well, you just got diagnosed with cancer. That's true, but you know what? If God, that's what God wants for me, yeah, because we trust the Lord. Okay, we talked about this in Sunday school. If you missed it, it was a great time in talking about Moses. Listen, I don't care if the Red Sea's in front of us and the biggest army in the entire world's behind us. Stand still. Watch what God's going to do. Just trust Him. He's got it. And I believe it. Okay, so that was it. He says, number one, rejoice in the Lord. Number two, you can be constant. You can have moderation and let people see that in you because you are rejoicing in the Lord. Then the third one, guys, remember, was be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. Be happy. Right? Don't worry. Yeah, doesn't it make sense? If you rejoice in the Lord because you know He never changes and He's got everything under control, then our lives can be nice and constant and we don't have to be high at one moment and in the depths of despair in the next moment. We can be constant. And because of that, it makes us not worry. Now, here's the question. I asked a minute ago, I said, do you have circumstances right now that you're struggling with? True. Are you worried about those circumstances? See, there's an amazing difference, isn't it? We can say that, yeah, I'm struggling with something, but when you say, are you worried about it? No, because we trust in the Lord. We know He's got it under control. That is how we can display to all men what God has done for you and I. Because everybody is going to have times in their lives where they're concerned about something. But the question then is, are you worried? No, I'm not worried, because I understand I'm God's child, and He promises He's not going to do anything that is bad for me. He's got a plan that no matter what it is, and you say, well, okay, wait a second. There's been some times in my life where some things have come my way, which I didn't like one bit. Matter of fact, they caused me a great amount of pain or concern or hardships. I remember growing up, and all three of my children are here, so I'll use me as an example instead of them. As a child, my mom and dad did things that I didn't particularly like. Like when I disobeyed, I got disciplined. I lost privileges. I got sent to my room. There were a lot of things that came my way that I didn't particularly like. Some of them were actually painful. Okay, right, the Board of Education across the seat of knowledge. Okay, but were they done to hurt me or out of anger toward? They were done because lovingly they were trying to develop me into the person that they knew I could be. If we give our parents credit for that, and Hebrews says this, why would we give honor to a father who is on this earth, a human being, and not give God the same kind of honor? Sometimes things are going to come in our lives, circumstances that aren't the greatest. But God knows what He is doing. Trust Him. So we said, rejoice in the Lord. We said, let your moderation, don't be up and down, be level. Why? Don't worry. And then the last one is pray properly. Because you know, the real meaning for prayer, sarcasm intended, the real meaning for prayer is so that we can change God's mind to do what we want Him to do, right? That's what prayer is all about. No, that is never what prayer is about. And people misunderstand that in this world. They think if they pray hard enough, God will do what they want. That is never what prayer is about. Prayer is always about us reminding ourselves that He is in control, we trust Him, and whatever He has planned, we're going to be okay with that. Prayer is always to bring us in line with His plan, never to bring Him in line with our plan. That's what prayer is. So you see, Paul's saying, listen guys, if you want to have this life of joy, you got to have these four essentials. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord, be moderate, and let it be seen by other people. Don't worry, and learn how to pray right. You go and say, Lord, I've always trusted You. I know You got this under control. Help me understand why I'm going through this. Help me see the things I'm supposed to do as I get to the other end of this. And then the last part, and it said, with everything by thanksgiving. Because you know what? When you and I look back on our lives, I think most of us will say, Lord, I didn't like that time period, but I'm thankful for what You taught me or how You brought me through it or the things I learned. We look back and go, and some of us don't even remember those hardships. That's why if you guys journal, it's a great idea. Because you can flip back to 6 years ago and say, oh my word, look at what a miserable person I was at this time. Some of us don't even remember. How many can look back and go, I was going through the worst depths of things in my life? Some of us have already gotten over that and it doesn't even matter anymore. Why? Because we understand that God's got the best plans in the works. We trust Him. So, we're setting that up. All those things. The next part we talked about was Paul's instruction on how we ought to think. Okay, and we always read this verse, whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things, that he lists off just some nice things that we ought to think about. But that's not the way that verse is written. We saw that there's a progression. It says, whatsoever things are true. You base your life on God's truth. And then because you base your life on God's truth, you can be honest. And we talked about that. Remember, like I said, I was watching some of these old-time cowboy shows recently, Gunsmoke and some of these other ones. And you hear the kids, right? Are you telling the truth? Honest, Pa! Because honesty is based on our take on the truth. So whatsoever things are true, you think about God's word, and then you can be honest, and then you can be pure, and then you can be lovely, and you can have a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, God says. All right, that was intro. Let's read the one verse we're going to cover today. We're making big tracks today. We're going to cover one verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. So he says, think on these things. Verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with my mind and my words. Lord, help it to be honoring to You and to share what we need to hear this morning. Father, we are here because we want to understand what You have for us. We want to file it into our minds and make changes in our lives. And Lord, this is an amazing verse. I mean, you don't get a whole lot more rubber meets the road than the verse we just read and that we'll look at this morning. So Father, I thank You for the things we've already seen, a review we've made, that Lord, we can trust You. You've got it under control. You never take a break. You're not napping somewhere or on vacation. You're always vigilant, always watching. You never change. Your love, Your mercy, everything toward us is exactly what it has always been. Lord, because of that, we can trust You. We don't have to be tossed about. We don't have to have a life that's up and down and all over the planet. And we don't have to worry. And Lord, because of that, we can come to You in prayer and say, Lord, we trust You. We may not understand. We may not exactly know what our part is. But Lord, we can look back and know that whatever it is, we're on board because You've always done right by us. And Father, we praise You for that. And so Father, as we have learned to think properly, help us now, Lord, as we look at this verse and understand the next step, because it just doesn't stop there. There's more to it. So Father, I just pray You bless us. Lord, Have your Holy Spirit teach each one of us what we need to know today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in 2 days, we're going to celebrate what? All right, I know you're sleepy this morning, but come on, 2 days from now. New Year's, thank you. All right, these are tests on how I tell whether you're awake or not. Okay, and what happens every New Year? People make New Year's what? Resolution. There you are. I knew you were out there. Okay, New Year's resolution. You know what I find interesting and what we're going to talk about here this morning and kind of our theme? Most of the time, New Year's resolutions, when they are made, are things we already know we should be doing. Right? I'm not going to eat so much. I'm going to diet. I'm going to exercise more. Okay? I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to love my family more. I'm going to be a better employee. I'm going to be a better spouse. You know, things we all know blah, 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 that we know we ought to be doing already. You know, I find oftentimes that's the same thing that we do with commitment to God. Whether it's a New Year's resolution or after a missionary comes or we have a revival meeting, or most of the time it's stuff we already know we ought to be doing. We're just not doing it. You know, I find often, and when we do the discipleship lessons here at our church for learning, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, most of it is just simple, regular, honest faith. But, you know, if you and I could just nail down and live the things we already know, simple, honest truth, our lives would be so much better. We get to New Year's resolution, and we take bets on how long it's going to take for us to violate our New Year's resolution, right? It's things I don't know many people go, you know what? My resolution is there's something out there I don't know that I need to find out, that I'm going to find out, and then I'll change my life. Most of the time it's, I need to continue to do what I know I want to and need to. Well, that's what the Apostle Paul says here in this verse. Did you catch it? He says, those things, all the stuff we just reviewed, everything we were just talking about very briefly, but for the last several weeks, probably month, we've been looking at what the Apostle Paul's instructions have been. He says, those things that you have learned, I got to get to my verse so I don't read them in the wrong order. Okay, those things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, one very large two-letter word, do. Yeah, it's not enough for us just to hear the things about God, for us to just put them into our mind and file them so we can win the next Bible trivia contest. We ought to be putting these things into our lives so it changes what we do. Now, there's an interesting thing that happened in churches, and you find this across the board. There are some churches that just do. They're just doing all the time. Doing, doing, doing. Feeding the hungry, clothing the... And they spend very little time learning. And then you find a lot of churches who spend tons of time learning and digging into the deep things of God. But they spend most of their time sitting in a pew or sitting in a chair or sitting across the conference table. And they don't do. The Apostle Paul tries to pin it down very clearly on what makes our lives successful for the Lord. And that is, what you have learned about God, now get out there and do something about it. It should be something that makes a change in us, and we see the proper response to that change. Now here, we have the sign in the back door that says, leave changed. It's been there for a while. And many of us walk under it and go, oh yes, I did change. I changed my mind on how I think about that. Good, now change your behavior. Change what you do. Because I'll tell you what, Christianity is not coming to a church and sitting in a pew. This is training. This is not walking our Christianity. This is how we prepare to go out and walk our Christianity. We need to do. Okay, we're going to look at this as we go down. All right. We need to do what we know. So let's look at a few verses. Get your fingers ready. Go to Luke chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 46. There's both important parts. Now, the doing comes from the knowing, right? We just talked about, think on these things. You have some parts of your life you need to put in order. But once you do, you don't sit back, pat yourself on the back and say, isn't that great, all the things I've learned about God? Now, I want to make sure we're understanding this is not Pastor Craig giving instructions on this. I'm just pointing you in the directions that the Word of God has already told us. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Look what it says. This is a heavy one, man. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know how many Christians call Jesus Christ Lord, but don't do a thing that he tells them to do? There's a whole world full of, and I've learned to do this on Wednesday nights to try to help define it a little, Christendom. Okay? Not necessarily Christians who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, who understand that he's forgiven you of your sins and you've received him into your life as Lord and Savior. He is now the master of your life. There are people out there who call themselves Christians in Christendom just because they happen to go to a church or have family who's gone to a church that uses the name Jesus. He says, if you're going to call me Lord, why are you doing that if you're not going to do the things I've asked you to do? So my question to you, church, and to me, is he really our Lord? Then we ought to be doing the things that he's asked us to do. Notice, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not come and sit in the synagogue? It's not what it says. It says, why aren't you doing those things that I tell you to do? If I'm really your Lord, you ought to be doing. Go over a chapter or two to chapter 8. Verse 21. One of those harsh moments in the scripture where Jesus' family shows out. I mean, his mother, his brothers show up outside the door and they say, hey, Jesus, your family's here. Mom's here. Brothers are here. Aren't you impressed? They're here. Let them in. Look what Jesus says, verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which what? Hear the word of the Lord and do it. Now notice, he doesn't just say, hear it. Because you know what? There'd be lots and lots of people who'd be real satisfied with themselves because they're sitting in churches right now all across this world and hearing the word of God. Jesus says, my family are those who hear it and then they respond and go out and do what they're supposed to. Now again, I'm hitting this hard because this is New Year's resolution time, where so many people are going to make adjustments to what they do to make their lives better. Well, how about we just do what we know God's told us to? Now, what a great result comes from this. We'll look at that in a minute. Look at John. How many of you are struggling? John chapter 3. With being happy. I'll tell you what, I have never seen in all of my ancient years in which I've been alive on this planet, I have never seen a time in which so many people are struggling with depression. It absolutely breaks my heart because people try to get their self-worth and their self-identity and their joy in their life from looking at a million other people on the internet and followers and seeing how awesome their life is and wondering why their life can't be just as awesome. And we struggle with people just being miserable. Listen to this verse. And guys, I'm sorry, I'm not making this up. And if you ask me if I got this, all set, I don't. But I'm learning where to find the answers. John chapter 3, verse 17. That's not the verse I want. Man, I can't stand that. It's one of these verses right around here. Well, let me give you an idea what the verse says. It says, You've heard my word, happy are ye if you do them. I know one of my good students are now going, I'll find it for you, Pastor. The verse says, happy are ye if you do them. There are a lot of Christians who are miserable because they come in and hear the word of God and think that's enough. My Lord Jesus says, you know what? If you're going to call me Lord, do what I've said. You want to be part of my family, do what I've said. You want to be happy, do what I said. Now, you know, this is awesome. And again, I want to bring this into reality because we all do this, but we stop giving God credit for the same things we already do. I said to my children, and we did it with the downstairs with the kids in clubs, when I taught at the school, I say this, here are the rules. If you do them, we'll all be happy. If you don't do them, guess what? You're not going to be happy. I'm still going to be happy. So you say things like this, and I've taught some of you as parents to do this. You walk into the room and you say, this is the last time that Happy Dad is coming in the door. Because I've asked you all now 3 times to do this. The next time I come in the door, if you haven't done this, it won't be Happy Dad at the door. It's your choice. Now get that. The kids don't understand. Parents want to be happy. We don't want to be miserable. We want to be happy. But you are choosing by not doing what is right to invite Grouchy Dad. If we would just do what we know to do, we would be happy. Why is it that people say, I'm making a New Year's resolution? Because I know if I do this, 2019, I will be happy. We know already that if we do the things we know to do, it would make our lives happier. Why don't we do that for God? Honestly. Kim, you had the verse 13? Chapter 13. I forgot to write a 1 down there. John 13:17. Thank you. I'd rather you see it right in God's word than hear it quoted from me. John 13:17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You see Jesus' instructions? You want to call me Lord? Don't do it if you're not going to do the things I tell you to do. You want to be a part of my family, those people who are important to me? Do the things I've told you to do. You want to be happy in your life? You know the things you've heard? Do them. I don't think that's that hard. We just don't do it, do we? Hey, come on. How many of us lay in bed at night and take a survey of how our days went or how our week went or things like that, and we know we already let ourselves down because we don't do the things we want to do? It's a struggle. It takes discipline in your brain. It takes the right kind of thinking to make sure that we do even the things that we want to do. Something, you know, simple of you, listen, I'm going to eat a good breakfast. Because good breakfasts are important. You know, and I'm not a big breakfast eater. I'm a big eater, just not a big breakfast eater. I tend to get up and I wind up not eating until like noon. But I'll tell you the truth, and I didn't believe people when they used to tell me, no big deal. My day goes so much better, I feel so much better if I eat a good breakfast first and get into that schedule. It doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does. When the experts say it, do it. I'm just telling you, that's just something simple about something in your own life that you can set down as a schedule, and we don't do it. We need to make sure that we're listening to what the Apostle Paul says here. He's been telling us this whole book. Guys, here's how you have your joy. You got to think right. You have the right mind. You got to set it in there. And then now that you've done that, do. John chapter 15, verse 14. You with me so far? John 15, 14. Jesus, these are quotes from him directly. I'm trying to get us the idea of what he is trying to tell us. John 15, 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I've commanded you. Oh, so it even gets better. You're my family. If I'm your Lord, if you want to be happy, if you want to be just my friend. You're my friend if you do those things I've asked you to do. Just do it. I can't. That's trademarked. I got to be careful. Nike slogan there. And we all know what James says, right? James chapter 1, verse 22, that we ought to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Look, go back here, if you would, to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I'm going to read more than just that verse. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, listen to his conclusion, deceiving your own selves. Oh, it's not such a big, you know, I know God's word, I'm all set. James says you're deceiving yourself if you think just because you hear it and know it. You got to be doers of it. Verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. This is an interesting thing that we experience in how much time men spend looking in the mirror versus women spend looking in the mirror. Okay? Right? Listen, in my house, and there's not that many women in my house, but they tend to spend a little bit more time checking out their facial appearance in the mirror. Gentlemen, we're lucky if we look at the mirror at all. Come on. You know, maybe that's why you're doing your teeth, you look up and go, oh yeah, all right, yeah. Yeah, really, it's scary. You know, that guy looking back at you. What he's trying to say here is, if you're not doing the word of God, what you know, then you really don't care the image that you're presenting. Right? We're supposed to be a testimony to the world. Somebody who's going to be looking in a glass at his appearance is going to be making sure, do I got anything misshaven? Okay? The only time guys are looking in the mirror is if they got something wrong on their face. I think I got a scar or a scab here or something. Ladies, on the other hand, and not that I'm making fun of the men too much, because sometimes ladies spend a little bit much too much time in front of the mirror. Okay, I love you. This is cultural. I'm going to get myself in big trouble. I really am. I got to be careful here. But I kind of tend to like New Englanders a little bit more, because the ladies in New England don't seem to spend as much time in front of the mirror as people down south. I have family down there and relatives and things like that, and you met Sally May over at the church the other day, and then you knock at her door at 7 o'clock in the morning to do work on her roof, and she opens the door and you say, hi, is Sally May here? And she says, it's May. Because you can't even tell it was the same person, because of how much stuff they had done to their face. You know what I'm talking about? They got the big hair and the whole nine yards. George Yance sings a song about marrying a lady like that. And when he got back to the hotel room, she took off her wooden leg and took off her false teeth and took off her, you know, her wig and took her false eye out and put it in the drawer next to the thing. And he said, I wasn't sure if I needed to climb into bed with her or climb into the drawer. It's a southern thing. Too often, we're either not paying close enough attention to the image we're putting out, or we're paying way too much attention to the image we're putting out. The idea here is, you want to make it work? Do those things that you know you should be doing. Let your life be reflecting the words that you speak and the things that you hear. Too often, Christianity, the criticism is, they are a bunch of hypocrites, because they say one thing but they do something else. Guys, that's one of the biggest faults when we try to talk to somebody. Oh yeah, I know a bunch of no Christians. Yeah, I hear what they say, but I've watched their lives. I see what they do. Jesus says, you want to be my friend? Want to be part of my family? You're calling me Lord? Do the things that I'm asking you to do. So, the Apostle Paul gives you four facets to this. Did you catch them? Back to Philippians. I like when sermons got their 4 points all laid out. It's right there. You don't have to think about them. You know, kind of easy writing. 4-point outline. The Apostle Paul gives it to us here in this one verse. He says, the things that thou have heard, received, learned, and seen in me, do. So let's break it down a minute. So the first thing he reminds us of is if you're going to be having a life of joy and representing the Lord Jesus in your life the right thing, you need to be a learner. You need to be a learner. He says, the things that thou hast learned. This is why, guys, we push hard to do discipleship. And some of you, I've been asking to do it, and we don't have time for it, or just, you're busy, or think, listen, are we really into what this faith is? Because you know what? We might live 70, 80 years here on this earth, but we're going to spend an eternity with God. Are we really so busied about in this life that we can't take time to learn about who we're in this faith for? It is not enough, listen to me, to receive salvation. A lot of people do it, ask Jesus to be their Savior, and that's as far as it gets. That's not what God designed this to be about. That would be like saying it's enough just when a child is birthed by you, and that's it. Had the baby, have a happy life. Is that how it works? Well, God, our Heavenly Father, designed our life to reflect what we need from Him. And we've talked many times, guys, about how He calls us babes, little children, children, young men, fathers, aged. He wants us to grow just like a family member would. We need to be learning. It is not just enough to attend a church. Now, please, I love the fact you attend church. Okay? It would be really tough on me to preach to nobody in the shoes. Okay? Or one person. Boy, you tell you what, would they get miserable if it was just Jim? You need to get right with God, Jim. Yes, it's true. Okay, Wednesday night, Jim didn't get the message that we weren't having things. He was here downstairs, opened the place up, and the dutiful man he is, and calls me up a few minutes later. I got your message, but I was too late. So he was here Wednesday. All right, we need to be learners, guys. Not just about coming home. Again, it's not just about birthing a baby. It's not just, okay, you bring the baby into the house. Okay, we got him in the house. Everything's good. As parents, what do? We teach that child how to grow up and be a successful adult. It's not just about giving. It's not just about serving. You need to learn. Matthew chapter 11. Let's look what Jesus has to say. Please understand the... So the Apostle Paul's saying, listen, you want to do this right, first thing you need to do is be a learner. 11:29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We always talk about, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We like that part of the verse. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Sister up with me on this load and learn from me. You see, that's the exact same thing the Apostle Paul said. The things that you've learned of me, do them. We got to be learners on how this system works. Learn of me. Ephesians chapter 4. If you can't keep up with me, I promise I'll try to read them my best. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Paul says, to give a little background, he's going ahead and telling them about some of these believers and some of these false teachers who live a life in the flesh and have fallen into sin. And he says, but you have not so learned Christ. He said, don't do it, because you guys have, you learned better than that. Okay, look, if you want a little explanation, I go back to verse 17. I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What have we been talking about? The Apostle Paul says, think this way. Have the mind of Christ. Don't be in the vanity of your mind because you've not so learned Christ. You know better. You've learned better. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, and led away of divers lusts, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to learn Christ. That's part of what the Apostle Paul says. And in verse 14 of this same chapter, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, listen, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This is why we talk about discipleship and talk about plugging in and learning from someone else. The Apostle Paul says, you want to learn how to do? He says, the things you've learned from me. How many times did the apostles say, follow me as I follow Christ? But there are tons of Christians. Now again, I'm not thumping down hard on us. I thank the Lord for our church and how we're doing. But we need to understand across Christianity, Christendom, that there are people that don't necessarily understand this. That they think a successful walk in Christ is to live however you want for 6 days and then come sit in a church for a couple hours and you're all set. You and I need to be learners. They need to be learners. As Christians, we need to learn what Christ has for us. And how do you do that? You pick somebody to learn from. You catch the end of that verse we just read? That you're assured because you know the people you're learning it from. We're going to continue in this thought. So the Apostle Paul says those things you've learned and received. You ever learn something and not receive it? You think it's a strange statement, but I'm a science nut. You know how much I love it. I dig into it. I think God's word and science and mathematics and creation all line up in a really awesome way. God is the creator of this world. Matter of fact, there's more proof to that than the zero proof there is of evolution, which people try to grasp hold of, and there's nothing that proves it out there. It's more faith to believe in that. I love science, but you know what? You get on these things and you listen to, well, the African fly does this and that and this and that. And I'm in my mind going, yeah, God's awesome the way he created them. And then they'll say, and it took them 17 million years to develop this. I may have just learned what they had to say, but I'm not receiving that. I heard it. It got filed into my brain, but I know that is not the truth. And I love watching these things. Well, the bot fly, I'm just making this up, so don't, evolved this habit that it uses this special plant, only one plant ever, and without that one plant, it would not survive. It developed that 17 million years ago. When did the plant develop? 18 million years ago. Well, what happened in that million years where they couldn't survive without each other? It just never adds up. Trust me, I could talk to you some more about this. Our world, moreover, proves that there is a God in this world than ever is there proof that there is a evolution. Anyway, I don't receive that. And what a great word is with this. It means take it unto you. In the scripture, there are several places, and I'm not going to do it for time's sake, where the Bible talks about when in a marriage ceremony you take unto you a wife. That's what it means here by receiving. Okay, it means that you're associating yourself. You're drawing something near to you. So you hear what the Apostle Paul said? Let's get back on this. He said, the things you've learned, and now you've received them. You've brought them in. You've made it part of your life. Now many of us, and the same word is often used when we talk about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There's where some people misunderstand salvation. You can hear about Jesus being the Savior of the world all you want. But until you receive that to yourself, and it becomes part of who you are, then it does you no good. Man, how many of us have understood, and somebody's told us, well, Jesus died for your sins. Well, that's nice. Thanks, I know that. You know, Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. He was born here to do that. Jesus died on the cross to deliver us from the penalty and the punishment of sin. Yeah, that's great. I know that. Yeah, but have you received it? I talk about it. We used Joyce's silver dollar the other day. I can put that gift out there and say, that silver dollar's yours, but if you walk away and never come back, it ain't yours until you pick it up and receive it. You can know that it's there. Say, that pastor dude laid the silver dollar there on the counter for me. That was 20 years ago. It ain't yours unless you pick it up and receive it. That's what we're talking about. Salvation's the same way. Paul says the same thing. He says, you heard it. You've received it. You've made it close to you, but that's still not enough. He says, you've heard it. Now, you think this might be out of order, that don't I hear it first, then learn it, then receive it? But this heard here means to give audience to, or to know it, to be absolutely fully assured. How many, look, all right, Patriots are on at one, right? I don't even know if I set it to record. If you guys see me disappear right after church, that's where I'm going. Pushing the, oh, Kim's going, thumbs up, okay. So give me the thumbs up. So we're all set. But you know what I'm talking about. We're all watching the football game, us fellas. I'm not trying to be sexist. It just tends to work this way. And the missus comes in. You know, that Peanuts teacher, right? And then she goes, did you hear me? Right, that sound was hitting my ears. Okay, that's it. We do it with our children, the same thing, right? You get little, my great nephew and great niece were over at the house, and you got to make them look right at you. Look at me. Are you listening? Did you hear me? Because it doesn't necessarily mean just sound hitting your ear. It means, do you understand what I'm asking of you? Do you know what I want? That's what this word means. He says, so, listen, the things you've learned and you've received of me, now have you heard what I'm saying? Are you getting it? Because you know as well as I do, people can learn about something and even bring it as an important part of their life, but if they don't, they, hey, you know what I'm asking, right? How many times have we, well, did you do that? Oh, I didn't know that's what you wanted me to do. All right, are we connected here? Do you know what I'm saying? And often, guys, listen, I researched this. There's probably over 130 references that this word is used, the word knowing. Or, quite often in the scripture, it says, what, know ye not? What, know ye not? It's the same word. That hearing, you didn't understand that's what I wanted? What, know ye not that your body is a temple? What, know ye not? That's the idea here. The Apostle Paul saying, okay, listen, the things, all those things that you learned and you received them and you know what is expected of you. Last one, and you've seen in me. Now, how many times we use this silly illustration, this silly phrase, do what I say, not what I do. That's the exact thing the Apostle Paul is saying here, and this is where mentoring is the concept behind this word that he's using. The things you have seen in me. You've been sitting around, you've been walking with me, you've been watching me, and in this culture many times, son, you've grown up in the shop watching me do pottery, watching me do carpentry, watching me do metalwork, watching me do, you've seen how I'm doing this. All those things that you've watched me do, all those things that you've seen over the years on how I function doing this job, you need to do the same things. Now, that adds a little bit more to the whole scenario, doesn't it? And guys, I hate, you know, sometimes some of you think I beat this to death, and I'm going to continue to beat it to death because it's the theme of God's life with us, and that is discipleship. We started out with the idea of learning, that you put somebody in your life that you can learn from. But the Apostle Paul ends these four statements with the conclusion to that. When you are a mentor and apprentice relationship, you continue to work with the master carpenter until you become a master carpenter too. It doesn't happen where, okay, yeah, I watch them. This is where I like the YouTube world. I have now become a master mechanic. Right? I wouldn't have dared take up mechanic in at all unless I had someone like Dan who's good at mechanic and who's come over to the house and pointed me in certain directions, which is awesome. Or you look it up on YouTube, right? And somebody says, all right, here's how you take a camshaft sensor off a 2013 Chevy Equinox. And they walk you through all the steps, right? Because you're watching somebody who knows what they're doing do it. Because I wouldn't be popping that thing apart and going, all right, I don't even know what I'm looking for. Right? And you try to order from Rock Auto. Oops, there's a commercial for them. Or one of these places, a part. And you put in the sensor, and there's 17 different shapes for the same vehicle. So what are you going to do? Pull the whole thing apart, pop one off, and say, ah, that's what it looks like. This is the one. You know what? It's great. You can put on YouTube and watch somebody who's already done it talk you through all the steps on how to successfully do it. Listen, I had them changed in about 20 minutes. I tell you, it would have been a long time if I was doing it by myself. What made it easy is I could watch somebody who knows what they're doing, observe how they handled it, listen to their coaching, even to the point where they say, and this one is a 10-millimeter bolt. I didn't even have to bring my whole tray of sockets over to find out what size it is. They already tell you. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying? And do you understand how easy our life would be if we would just observe people who have already done it and learn from them? See, the Apostle Paul says, this is a battle for your mind, guys. You want joy in your life? You need to structure this way, but here's the deal. You need to find somebody, because that's the phrase he says. You've learned, you've received, you've heard, you've seen in me. That's where sometimes we miss. Because we need to find a brother or a sister in the Lord that we can say, you know what? There's some things about this faith. There's some things about this Christian life that I still need to learn. You mind if I hang around with you and learn how to do it? Now, two things are going to happen. Number one, that person's going to go, okay, no, don't come look at my life and learn of me. That means I have to start acting better. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? That's how Paul said it, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not Paul saying, listen, I'm taking Jesus' place, you're going to watch me now, and I'm the one who you're going to start living after. No, but the design has always been, find someone you can trust in the faith and start learning. Start modeling your life. Start doing those things that you know you ought to do. 1 Thessalonians. Couple verses and we'll be wrapping it up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verses 5 and 7. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. Now listen, in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. He said it didn't come just by the things we were telling you. You guys watched us. You observed the kind of people we were when we were there with you. That's how the word came to you. Verse 6. and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Do you see we've talked about this, guys. We're in a long parade of people who are living their lives for Christ. The Apostle Paul says, we came to you and you watched us. It wasn't just the words we spoke. You saw our lives. Even to the point where you saw all our struggles and our afflictions. And because of that, you became examples to the people who would be watching you. That's the design. It's always been. The Apostle Paul says, listen, the things you learned and seen and heard in me, do them. And what's the benefit? I mean, I'm skipping a verse that I wanted to read. Hang on a minute. Yeah. Chapter 5, 12 and 13. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Do you hear that? I want you to know them. Be assured, observe, watch. Know those people who are above you in the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean they're high and lofty. It means they're in front of you in the parade. Verse 13, and to esteem them very highly for their love, in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And we just got done with this, and I talked about the fact in Christmas we talk about peace on earth, right? And Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. People who want to follow me are going to have the peace of God, but people that don't. He says, listen, if you would find people in your life as a mentor to learn from, to follow, and do the things that they're doing, you'd have peace. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, and we're done. I want to show you this. The result. What an awesome result. He said, those things that you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and look at this, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. Now, we spent a few minutes a couple weeks ago talking about the difference between having peace with God, and then we talked about, if we would do these things, the peace of God that passes understanding. And many of us realize that, you know, if we would do these things, we can have the peace of God. But how much better is it if you understand that the God of peace will be with you? There's a difference between having peace, meaning you know your sins are forgiven. All right, I have peace with God. I'm no longer in danger of eternity in hell. But then I can have peace that I don't understand, that these things are going off like nukes around me, and I'm still okay because I understand God's in control. But then if we would put this part into our lives, if we would do those things that he's asking us to do, it says the God of peace will be with us. Jesus said, you're my family. You're my friends. You're those people. If you're going to call me Lord, if you would do those things that I'm asking you to do, I'll be with you. Now, I don't know about you. I don't mind having peace. But how awesome it is to know that the God of peace is right with you. You ever in a situation where it's tough and you bring along backup? Whether you're a little kid and it's a bully, or, you know, you got a situation going on and mom comes with you or dad comes with you, and you know everything's going to work out because the person who's got your back is standing right next to you. Do you see what Jesus says? You're going to call me Lord. You want to be my friend. You want to be my family. You want to be close to me. Do those things that I do, and I'll be with you. I'll stand with you. What a benefit. So the questions this morning, a lot of things we've been learning, and a lot of things we know. If I were to title this sermon, this would be the title. Two words, real short words. Now do. Period. All these things we know, all these things we've learned, we've received, all these parts we've seen in other people as we've been growing in the Lord. Now do. Just do. And the God of peace will be with you. Do you have the peace of God? Well, wouldn't you love to have the God of peace right with you all the time? I do. So pray for me. Because I'm not going to stand up here and make it pretend like I got this all under my belt. No way. I'm still learning too. I'm still reminding myself that the things that I understand about God's word, I got to step up and do them. Not just have them here, but see them play out in my life. So, when you're about to write down or somebody asks you if you made a New Year's resolution, you need a little new twist on it. Not just doing it because it's New Year and it's something good to do culturally. We ought to be doing the things we know because it's what God expects of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you so much for your love for me, for all of us. Lord, I thank you that, man, what an amazing thing. It's not the fact that you just hung on the cross and took our sins away and that's it. You just leave us laying around like some person who'd just been delivered, but we're all alone and we're fending for ourselves. It has never been that way. That has never been your plan. Right from the beginning, Lord, you designed a system in which when we get born into your family, there is a family to take care of us, to help us to learn, to help us to grow, to help us to become that person. And Lord, to mentor us, and then we can mentor somebody else. So Lord, I don't know where all of us sit here today in this church. Maybe there's somebody here who has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're not sure about that. And Lord, this can be the day that that thing is taken care of absolutely. Never again will they question whether or not they're right with God, that they can have peace with God. Lord, maybe there's some of us here who need to be learners. Lord, we haven't plugged in like we should. And we're supposed to take up his yoke and learn of him. We're supposed to see what it is like to be a Christian. Maybe, Lord, some of us have learned these things and we're just not doing them. Father, maybe there's one of us, two of us, who need to step up and be the end sample that you said we should be. We've been learning, we've been doing, but Lord, we need to step up and take somebody else by the hand and say, watch my life. You can see my struggles. You can watch how I handle this, and I'll try my best to point you in the right direction on what it's like to be a Christian. So, Father, I don't know where people are at this morning, but Lord, the nice part is I don't have to. You've already touched everyone in here with your word. So help us to have the proper response to what you've told us to do. Not just hear it, but do it. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Matt.